What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Naime, with Digging In with Naime. If this is your first time on the pod, welcome. If you've been here before, welcome back, family. It's just me today. Kim is not here, but I'm hoping today will be a short episode. So let's dig in. First, it is fall. Autumn, which is my favorite season. I'm so excited. Autumn goes from September 22nd to December 21st, and so I'm really looking forward to this fall. I create a list of things that I want to accomplish and do, and so I'm just really looking forward to it. I have this new thing I've been doing. I don't know if I've mentioned it on here, but I really like to garden, and I've started, I love plants. And I've started to garden. That's what it is. I love plants. And I've started to garden. I've tried gardening within the last 2 years, maybe. Really since 2020. And it hasn't been the most successful here. Because, it's been summer. But I also live in an apartment. So I've been trying to garden in small pots. And it hasn't been super successful. But I'm hoping that this fall I can get some things into the ground and hopefully at least prepare for some sort of harvest. And I was just thinking about fall and what fall means. And so I wrote some things down, right? Fall is about maturity. Fall is about harvesting. Yeah, harvesting a lot of things from summer. And when you think of harvesting, is production, right? Being able to produce. But also, fall is about preparing. If we look at nature, right? God's nature. We look at animals and bears and different animals, and we see them preparing for the winter, right? Preparing for hibernation, whether it be a bear preparing to hibernate, right? So collecting all of its food and supplies to be able to hibernate during the winter. Or you look at birds who are preparing to head south, right? Like, nature in itself is preparing. During the fall, after you harvest, you then start to prepare your land to replant and to regrow. And so I'm just looking forward to that. Autumn is also about change. So seeing the change and shift, and that goes hand in hand with maturity, right? Seeing you mature, which is a change. And so that just got me super hype. And so I have a list of just things that I want to see myself do between September 22nd and December 21st. What I've decided is, and until the Lord tells me not to do this, I think as businesses, we look at things by quarters. And I start to do that. I start to look at my year in a quarter, right? So January, February, March, April, May, June, and third quarter, and different things like that. And I think that's beneficial. However, I've decided to shift and do it by seasons. So following the actual seasons that God has created. I also understand that I live in North America. So it's a different hemisphere, from where Israel is. And so the seasons also look different compared to that. But it was just something that I'm looking for. And there's just different things. I wrote a list of things that I am excited to heal from during this season. Things I would like to witness and seek and see, and things I'm preparing for and what that preparation looks like. And so I'm just really excited and eager to see what God does during the season of autumn and fall, and I'm super hyped. So I wanted to share that with you, especially because I've entered into a new season. In my exiting of the summer season, so in the last few weeks of summer season, I started a new job teaching at a university, and that's just a whole different environment. And realistically, what I'm seeing is God is pushing me deeper in my trust. That I'm going deeper into my trust because I don't have a master's degree, right? Like, technically, I have the experience to teach, sure, but it's the idea of, like, I don't have all the requirements to teach at university, yet I'm able to, right? God is still able. And so it's just a beautiful moment. So I feel like God is really pushing me deeper in my trust. And I really feel like there's preparation that he's pushing me through, and it's just being obedient is what I really feel is happening. So I'm excited to see what happens within these next few, you know, weeks. The other thing I want to dig into is what's happening in the border in Haiti, or excuse me, on the border of Mexico, in Del Rio specifically, which is the border of Texas and Mexico. And I think this one hits home even more so because that's the same river my grandfather, Simon Nilo, would cross when he was coming to America. There was a moment where he crossed it daily, and then there was, you know, another moment where he crossed it and he stayed in the States, and then he sent money to his family, which is my mother and her two other sisters, and then her sister, and then they had a son. And then they eventually were able to all come to America. It hits home because it's not an easy trek. It's not an easy walk. It's not an easy hike. It's not an easy path to get here, right? You're going against the current. And so how desperate does someone need to be to put themselves at risk? Now, if we look at Haiti, what's even crazier is that they're even further. They're on a Caribbean island. They're on a whole different island. They have to go through various countries to try to get just to that border. They may go through Colombia. They may go through Ecuador, I believe is on that side. They may have to go through Nicaragua or Guatemala, right? There's other countries that they need to go through to get there. It's not just this high step, but they're willing. We have to also remember that there's been devastation in Haiti for the whole time that they've been inception, realistically. But right now they just had, you know, the hurricane, on top of political issues, right, where their president was assassinated. And so there's just so much happening, and yet they're seeking refuge. The problem is that during the Trump era, there's a Title 42, which also is called Stay in Mexico, where they had closed the borders, not allowing anyone crossing from Mexico into the United States to cross the border because of, quote unquote, to protect against COVID. However, there was a judge in Texas, the governor Abbott, I forgot his first name, but Abbott's his last name. And Texas governor said, like, we're going to keep the borders closed and they can't come. And there was a judge in Texas who said, no, like, realistically, let them come in. Let them, if they want, let them get vaccinated. We need to provide the space for them. There was also an argument of, legally, we cannot stop mothers specifically with children who come in and say, I am here to seek asylum. We cannot stop them. Legally, because we represent ourselves as a country of immigrants and as a country of welcoming migrants and immigrants, we literally say that is in, within our bodies, bylaws, that's within our body, that's in with who we say we are. We produce that to the masses. Because we say this legally, if a woman specifically with children says, I am here to seek asylum, we have to allow her and her children to go through the asylum process. And that's not what's happening right now. What's happening right now is that there are a lot of Haitian migrants being deported back to nothing, right? They're being deported back to Haiti on flights, and it's like there is nothing there for them. And the Biden administration is not doing anything different. I think there was an idea that Biden was going to just do so many things differently. I knew he wouldn't, right? And not that, like, Biden's a terrible person. It's not like that, right? Like, I think a lot of it is there's so much happening, right? That it's like there's a lot that he has to attend to. But then also it's what he deems as what is important. And I think it's our job for us to tell him that this is important, that this is something that he needs to address, because there are thousands of people at the border right now. It's not just a few of them, it's thousands. And they're just there, right? With limited water, limited food, no shelter. It's still hot, right? Like, sure falls here, but the weather ain't changing. We are in a climate crisis, and so it's just hot, overly hot. You have also the situation of like just being in Mexico and what that entails, especially on the border. And we know that on top of Border Patrol chasing them down and not allowing them in, you have where there's, I'll say it's a conspiracy because I have yet, I won't say it's a conspiracy. But there is also the cartel who, from what I've heard, I don't have any articles to back it up. So that's why I said it was conspiracy. But again, the media isn't always accurate either and truthful. So I think that's important to say. But I know from people who do a lot of work on the border that the cartel, so I won't say it's a conspiracy, because there are people actually, now that I think of it, that I know who do work on the border personally. And they say that the cartel sometimes kidnaps a lot of these people to sell and to put and do different things with. And so I think it's really important that this is a humanitarian crisis and we look into it. Not only as an obligation because they're trying to come into this country and what we say we are, but also as an obligation because of what we have done to Haiti. The harm we have caused Haiti, within its inception, right? Haiti was enslaved to France, and during the Haiti Revolution, or depending on who you're speaking to, the Haiti Revolt, right? But it's their revolution. They killed Haitian, and I'm not laughing because you know, killing anyone is dangerous, is terrible. So I'm not laughing because they killed people. No. It was just in the words I said, I found humor. But they killed their slave owners. Haiti revolted and killed their slave owners, killed every single slave owner, the slaves did. And France, being France, and that's who was running the country, decides to threaten them by surrounding them by boat, right? Because it's an island. And they threatened them with bombs, and they said, you know, you owe us money. Because you killed our slave owners, you owe us money. And that's the Haiti Revolution right there, right? They revolted against France. And so the thing is Haiti actually just finished paying off that debt last year, 2020. Which the debt also, this was, the Haiti Revolution was like, what, in the 1800s? Like, think about that much time that you are paying off a debt to another country. And realistically, America supported it. The U.S. of A's said, France, we got your back. If A, B, C, and D happens, we'll do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So America helped Haiti stay in poverty as they try to repay this deal. Not only do they stay in poverty, but then you have deals where Haiti was trying to make deals with Cuba and other countries that America was like, no, if you make a deal with that country, we will no longer make a deal with you. And so the things you're exporting here, that we're no longer going to accept. So that's less money you're getting. Like, America bullied colonialism, imperialism. Like, America bullied Haiti and really sucked them dry of their supplies and things, and forced them. It was a contribution. America contributed their country status, because they were a wealthy country in the early 1800s. Wealthy country. They were so wealthy. And so I think that is important. One thing I do want to make sure I say correctly, is the Haiti Revolution. I want to make sure I get the date correctly. It was from August 21st, 1791 to January 1st, 1804. So they got their freedom in 1804. And so I think it's important that we state that. With that being said, I think it's important that we know these things. I'm going to leave some information in the show notes. I'll leave 3 articles that you can read to get a better understanding of what is happening at the borders. I'm going to leave an article about the Haiti Revolution so you have a better understanding of that whole situation and kind of how they're in the situation they're in now, and the part, and you know, the part that the US of A is played in. And then I'm also going to leave in the show notes some action items that we can do, right? I think what's so important is that there are things that we can do, right? We can call our Congress member, we can call our people and say, this is what we're expecting you to do. This is what we're expecting you to push. Realistically, y'all, there's so much power that we have as a people. It's just getting people to do things together, right? One person is powerful, sure, but a mighty might of people is powerful. And it's time that we hold everyone accountable. It's time that we hold people accountable for the things they say, but also for the things they do. It is really important that we tell the governor, you know, of Texas that this is what we want to see. There was a federal judge who gave Biden 14 days to kind of figure out what he was going to do. And they halted deportations and all that so they can figure it out. And so we need to put pressure on them. We need to. And this then leads me into say this thing. There's a lot of stuff happening within the world. And I think it's important if we stop waiting idly, if we stop watching and actually do something and act. And if you ever are in a space where you're like, you want to do something, but you don't know, or you feel traumatized, right? Because sometimes you feel not traumatized, but like paralyzed. You feel paralyzed because there's so much happening, and you are looking and saying, how can I play a role, what can I do? And I think that's so important. There's no role too small or too little, so never let someone tell you that. If we think about the civil rights movement, I think that's a great example, right, of everyone playing a part. If we think about the bus boycotts, you needed people in order for the bus boycott to have lasted as long as it did, right? It lasted years. It wasn't a few weeks and months. It lasted years, as they proved the point. And in order for that to happen, there was community. They needed people. So they had people who gave rides, people who could drive people. And they came up with a community plan. And then they were able to effectively make change. And that is the same thing that we need to do. There's a part we can play. And if you feel paralyzed, I think it's time to do research. Ask yourself, how can I play a role? But then maybe finding the right people who also know. Always calling your congresspeople, that's always, I think, a great role if you don't know what more to do. If you're not the type of person who's going to go stand on the front lines, that's fine. But calling your congressperson to the minimum or donating money, I think that's always really important. It's always a great role to play if you don't know what else, other roles to play, or if you are not capable to play another role. Maybe that's all you can provide in this moment. That's all you can do, and that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. However, I do think it's important that we do something. So, as you all can tell by now, if you listen to my podcast, I always try to give action items, challenges, steps. We need to... We're more powerful than we know or than we think. But realistically, our power will come in unity. So let's amplify our voices together. Peace, y'all.